Most loving and affectionate Lord Jesus, we have gathered in your presence. Open our minds and our hearts. Allow the very love that you are to break through in every aspect of our existence. We ask for the dispositions of your Mother Mary, that we may love you with her heart and seek the will of the Father with her dedication and devotion. We ask this through the intercession of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, the Queen of all who call themselves Christian. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Be seated. Now, today we are gathered here, and it's called Love Breaking Through. Awaken. We need to rise from sometimes what we don't even understand. Do you know that in the Old Testament, if you touched the Ark of the Covenant, you touched it, it was instant death. And here we have something infinitely greater than the Ark of the Covenant. We have the actual creator of the Ark of the Covenant. Every single time we receive our beloved Lord, every single time we enter into his presence, there has to be a change that is evoked within each one of us. We can't be different. Think about it. We're the only Christians on earth that have the body, blood, soul, and divinity, the living, breathing Jesus. There's no bread here. It may seem that there's a simple host. He has eyes that see, ears that hear, a mouth that speaks, a heart that beats, blood coursing through his veins. This is the same exact Jesus that walked the streets of Jerusalem. And this is the Jesus that came to die. The only person in the history of mankind that was foretold who did not come to live. He came to die. Because he knew that without that death, we could never have life. And the life that we seek is our joy. You see, misery and happiness are choices. Just like heaven and hell are choices. You get up in the morning and you either choose heaven or you choose hell. And all of us know the people who choose hell. We all know curmudgeons in our life, no matter who they are. We had to put up with some of them during the holidays. But you see, if we choose joy, we are choosing exactly what we find in the Our Father. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is the will of God? What is the will of God? It's our joy. That's really the will of God. It is our joy. And how is our joy to become part of our lives? But through love. God is love. We've got to understand that. But the thing is, the more we understand, the more we allow that love in the Eucharist to break through, in the sacraments to break through, in reconciliation to break through, there's how we find true joy. The problem with mankind is that we have lost joy and we expect it from the worst possible places. The government can't make us happy. Your wife was not created to make you happy. And if you think your husband was created to make you happy, get a grip. And heaven knows your kids weren't created to make you happy. You see, that's a choice. And it's not our job to make someone else happy. And we should never give that responsibility to any human being. No one has that obligation and no one has that ability to make us happy. It's a choice. Embrace it. Accept it. But the only way you can really accept it is to understand and to know him. You see, you and I, being human beings, we need an object to love. I can't love an ideal. Neither can you. And if you don't know someone, you can't love them either. And that's the whole idea of the new evangelization. It's the whole idea of what our beloved Archbishop is trying to instill within each one of us. That we have to become the very love that we receive. It's not enough, and it never will be enough, to be an imitation of Christ. I mean, I read the book. I know. But that's not enough. And if anybody, and I've said this many times, if anybody's ever had imitation crab meat, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The worst stuff you can put in your mouth. But you see, God doesn't want an imitation.
He wants us to become the very love that we receive. And that's why he comes to us as food. Imagine this. And that's the sadness about the revolt, the Protestant revolt, is they took away from their people this magnificent gift, this infinite gift that changes a person. If only we allow that change to take place. It's not difficult, you know. A lot of people make you jump through hoops. That's not about what Catholicism is about. It's not about jumping through hoops and doing this and then you'll get this. That's not what it is at all. It's about finding out who it is that loves us into existence. Who it is that loved us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, who became flesh, so that we would know love, perfect love, not human love, although we have to love him with our humanity. That's the reason why he became flesh. He became flesh because we need an object to love. I can't, as I said, love an ideal, and neither can you. It's a nice idea, but it really doesn't fly. Because, see, we are human. We need an object that returns that love. And that's why God sent his only Son. You and I can't return the love that we denied the Father, because God is truly our Father because he loves each one of us in existence. And if we simply understand one element of our faith, that God does not see crowds, he just doesn't. He doesn't see humanity. When he was conceived in his mother's womb, he did it for only one person. One person only. When he created the universe, he had two persons in his mind. Mary, who was the prototype of creation. She was the exemplar of all the beauty and the perfection that has ever been or ever will be. And when you look at the Hubble telescope and you see the magnificence of all the created world that God has given us, the colors and the beauty and the magnificence, when you see a sunrise and a sunset, when you see beautiful things, when you taste great food, and when you have the beautiful smell of incense, all of these things were created solely for you, not y'all, you. As an individual. When Jesus hung upon the cross, he looked down and he did not see humanity. He saw only one person standing next to his mother, you. That's the only way God can see things. And understanding that that is exactly how I am loved, means that I have to love in a way that's different. You know, you see a lot of churches. Many times I go to the inner cities and on Monday morning, I see chalk men, and those are when they make the outlines of someone who's been shot or killed. And there's churches on every corner. What's missing? What's missing is a knowledge of Christ that changes each one of us fundamentally. And we've got to change. How can we receive communion and be the same? How can we go through the season of Christmas and be the same as we were last year? You know, as individuals that God created and loved each one of us into existence, we have to return that kind of love. Because to tell you the truth, when you look at that crucifix and when you look at the body of Christ hanging there, bleeding and dying, we have to understand that I own every wound. I don't share them with you, and you own every wound, and you don't share them with me. I remember when I was in the seminary, there was a kid who said, "Oh, yes, I put the wound in Jesus' shoulder." I said, "Oh, really?" I said, "Take a better look, because it's all yours. Every wound, every spittle, every beating, every thorn, every nail, every laceration, every insult, every spittle, every buffet. I own it all, and so do you." Now, that's going to call for a return that's different. If Jesus is my friend, then I'm never going to change. He's not our friend. Oh, that's part of it. But he is our God. We are his disciples. And I have a lot of friends that aren't Catholic. I have a lot of friends that aren't even Christian. But when you're a disciple, it means that you listen to every single word, every thought. You see every movement. You study it. Like the eyes of a slave on their master, it says in Scripture. Follow the hands, and they try to anticipate every possible desire of the master. If we are going to truly be joyful and happy in this world, First of all, we have to understand that we have a reason to be happy. All of us have a father who loved us into existence. All of us have a brother in Christ Jesus who comes to give himself to each one of us. So that after communion, his hands are in my hands. His blood literally courses through my veins. His heart is beating in my heart. He said to us, I am in you. And then he goes always farther and he says, and you are in me. He never says one without the other. Why? Because I'm more Christ than I am me. His heart is in my heart and my heart is in his. My hands are in his hands and his hands are in me. And you know that after you receive communion for 15 minutes, he is physically inside. This isn't some spiritual game that we play. He's physically there. And if it weren't for a singular grace given to us by God, there's not one person who could survive the Eucharist. How can you live with somebody else's heart beating in yours, somebody else's blood beating, somebody else's hands in yours, looking through his eyes for that 15 minutes, as long as that host is there? He's inside of each one of us. How can that not make a change? If we realize it, you see, this is the thing. I remember I was once in a church in Missouri, and I spoke about the Eucharist. And then there was a woman in the back of the church, and she fell out of her pew. And I went, I hope she's not having a heart attack. And she was just all upset. And I went back to her after Mass, and I said, are you okay? And she says, yes, but why haven't somebody told me this? She said, I converted 40 years ago, and never was I ever told that that is my Savior, Jesus Christ, my Lord and God. How many hours I have wasted not knowing him. And this is what we have to understand. I come to Mass, and I have to bring the grace with me that God is offering to me. I have to be the one to embrace it and to look and have the eyes to see who it is that I receive. Not what? The Eucharist is not a thing. It's a hymn. It's our Lord and our God, the one who holds us in existence. Do we really understand this? If we do not, we fail ourselves. Because we'll never get the grace. We'll never use the grace properly. Music is something so beautiful. In fact, it's the only thing, according to St. Thomas Aquinas, that touches the soul directly and intimately, immediately. And so it's important. What's more important is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of the God-made man who offers us himself as food. That's why we've gathered here. So maybe, just maybe, each one of us, myself first among you, I need to understand who it is that's here, who it is in that monstrance, who it is in that tabernacle. How many times is he left alone? People don't even think to make a sign of the cross when they pass by the church anymore. We need to recognize the gift. And if we listen to the gifts that God gives us around us, our beloved Holy Father, our beloved Archbishop, the bishops and the priests that surround us and that offer their very lives for us, our reverend deacons who serve the church selflessly. We need to listen. We need to understand the gift. And that is why God has given us the church. That's why he has given us our beloved Pope and our bishops and archbishops and cardinals and priests and deacons, so that we will know love. We have to be love, and that's simple as that. I have to be love just as God is love, just as the Father is love, so you and I have to be love. That means we've got to make a change. You know, everybody's different when they're at home. I know I was. When I was a little kid, I remember Stephen's mom came running up to my mother in the grocery store, and she says, is this your son? And she says, oh, God, what did he do? She says, doesn't he do? And she says, I'm so sorry. And she says, don't be sorry. He comes over to my house, and he does my dishes. He mops my floor. And she went, what? Are you sure it's this kid? I was different. Who isn't? When you're at home with your family and your friends or your close family, you're different. But if the Pope walked into your living room, you sure would be different. And that's the same when we come to church. That difference that evokes within us That desire to be our better self is exactly the gift that God gives each one of us, and he gives the grace to achieve it. Let us seek after this day to be our better self. Let us never allow at any moment to enter into the presence of Christ, God made man, without it making a tremendous and fundamental change within us, even if it's just to love him a little bit more. Our beloved Holy Father of recent memory said that we need to pray for a constant conversion. And what that simply means is this. Every day, when you go to bed, when I go to bed, I can say, Lord, I did not love you enough today, and that is going to be my goal tomorrow. If you give me tomorrow, I'm going to seek to love you more than I ever did before. Because that is going to be the true means for happiness. Because no one else can do it for you. We have to choose it. And God has given each one of us the grace not only to choose joy, to choose love, but the grace to become that love. And what better way than with Christ Jesus and at the feet of Mary? You know, Father invoked the Blessed Mother at the beginning, and she is really our mother. Pope Benedict, the second Mass he ever celebrated, he said this, that at every Eucharist, at every sacrifice of Mass, the Blessed Virgin Mary is just as present as Jesus. Can you imagine that? Because we are at Calvary. At every Mass, we cease to be in this church, and we are mystically transported, and we are standing next to Mary, each one of us. And Jesus, 2,000 years ago, looks down and he sees you standing there. He sees you standing next to his mother. He hears what you have to say, what you desire. He hears the movements of your heart, every bit of it. Nothing is secret. How could that not change a person? Really? People who come to Mass and they aren't different haven't brought completely themselves. You came tonight and you brought yourselves. You brought yourselves to experience something beautiful, to experience something greater than yourself. And that's what faith offers us. To go beyond self to that perfect self, that other self that God made in us, that perfect image and likeness of God. What are we awakening to? But pure love, perfect love, selfless love, kind, gentle, sweet love. All these beautiful things. Oh, maybe we don't have success. You know, you have never heard the title, Jesus Most Successful. Never have. Because he wasn't. Not humanly speaking. But he used his own failure to teach us that it isn't about success. It's about simply loving. And remember this also, and I got to tell you this, because love is an act of the will. Don't expect to feel warm and fuzzy. That's not the kind of love we're dealing with. And that's what mega churches can do. They can make you feel warm and fuzzy, and you dance, and usually people last about 3 years and then they get tired of it. But you see, here, we don't come to be entertained. We come to encounter our God. We come to place ourselves and recognize our utter dependence upon him. And who better to place ourselves in whose hands but Mary and Jesus? My dear brothers and sisters, we're here to learn about love so that we can become love. And before I finish, because you don't want to listen anymore to what I got to say, but I will say this. I want you to turn to each person next to you, even if you don't know them, and I want you simply to say, I love you. Look into their eyes, though. You have to, not yet, wait. Because I got to give you some guidelines. No kissy face crud. Keep your hands to yourself and say nothing more than three little words. I love you. And don't huggy-wuggy either. So three words. I love you. And only to the person on your left and the person on your right. And if you don't know the person on each side of you, give them a thrill. But tell them that you love them. And when you go home, if there's anything that you should bring home with you, is that. Don't ever hesitate to tell the people around you that you love them, because you don't know if you're going to have a chance again. We don't know. That's what made the saints, you know. They kept death before their eyes, so they lived life. Death doesn't make you miserable. It makes you live. Because you got one more day to love, one more day to forgive, one more day to just be love, to become love, to find that love, to incarnate that love, because that's exactly what God did. And if you and I receive the incarnated love, you and I have the responsibility to incarnate that very love in the world. And if the world does not know him, it is because we have not done enough incarnating. And if we can be Jesus more and more every day, we will change the world. No question about that. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. Don't put your hope in any human structure. Put your hope in faith, in love, in goodness, in Christ Jesus, in his person. Put your love and your faith in his passion, death, and resurrection. Put your love and your faith in his presence in the Eucharist. Put your love and your faith in the presence in every single person you meet. Because there's where you will find him. In some people, he may be crucified. In others, scourged. Others, he's laughing as we did with the children. But you will always find him. And as you find him, you will get to know him more and more, even through others. So that's why I want you, okay, are you ready? Now I'm going to count to three. And you're going to turn, you're going to say very simply, now remember, no mushy stuff, okay? You're just going to say it to the one person on the right and one person on the left. Are you ready? Ready to go? Are you ready? It should take like 5 seconds. All right, go. All right, that's enough. That's enough. Don't go overboard. Now, at the end, there's going to be little crucifixes that I brought from our beloved Holy Father, Pope Francis. They're replicas of the staff St. John Paul carried. Please feel free to take one. If once everyone has them, if there is anybody who is sick that you know, please take one for them and give that to them. Pin it on them. Let them keep it, because that is the perfect definition of love, what you're looking at there. That is the definition of love. And if that is going to break through, if that's our idea of love, is that what you're looking for? If that's what you find, you have found the treasure, the pearl of great price. Is that enough? Yeah, all right.